Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel you have just heard from Matthew chapter 7 comes from the Sermon on the Mount. It is here in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is teaching his disciples, not the massive crowds, not the pagans, but his own. And in such, as we read and hear Matthew 7, he is teaching us. His own disciples. Right before the gospel lesson tonight, he is teaching about two ways. He speaks of a wide way leading to destruction, and he speaks of a narrow gate and the hard way. He tells his own to seek out that narrow gate and the hard way, for the end of such things is eternal life. This is incredibly important in our teaching this evening about false teachers, false prophets, and knowing a good or healthy tree from a diseased or bad tree. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. The world around us today especially, but throughout all times, would extol things like open-mindedness, because wide is the way. Jesus, on the other hand, extols narrow-mindedness as a virtue. No, not narrow-mindedness in relation to earthly things like politics or racism or any such thing like that. No, Jesus encourages narrow-mindedness in regards to God's Word. Narrow in our hearing and our learning. And because of that strict and narrow holding unto the Word of truth, the world will hate you. Even the world that might try to hide under some guise of church will hate you for it. Dare to speak in exclusive or narrow terms. Dare to speak of things like a six-day creation. Dare to speak of men only serving as pastors. Dare to speak as marriage being created by God and as defined in Scripture as the lifelong union of one man and one woman. Dare to speak of closed communion. And even supposed Christians will think very evil and say very evil things about you. And because of this, it makes it a very hard way. A hard way to live out your Christian life. Everyone here tonight has experienced that. But Christ has said these things. And as his own disciples, to whom he was speaking in Matthew 7, who loved to hear the shepherd's voice, we hear it and we hold on to it. Because his voice alone has the words of eternal life. It is narrow, it is strict, it says things that we do not want to hear. Things like, you are wrong. You have sinned. But why does it say it? Not out of hatred or meanness, but out of true, divine, godly, even fatherly love. Because Christ our Lord would have us turn from the wide path leading to destruction and return by repentance to the narrow gate and the hard way. So we come tonight to the texts, knowing that the teachings of Jesus can be narrow and exclusive and hard to handle, that they will create hardship for us. And today it is no different. There are enemies of your soul out there, and many of them will try to put themselves in front of you as your spiritual teachers, your gurus. They will put themselves in books to be read, on TV stations to be watched, publications, even bearing the own LCMS logo at times, that there are indeed false teachers out there, men and women who have not heard Christ, but speak from their own imaginations. From their own sinful and selfish nature, from minds that are both open to the lies of the world around us and also the lies that come from their own sinful hearts. The Scriptures speak of these people. It calls them false prophets, false teachers, false Christs even, ravenous wolves, describe their work of prophesying lies in the name of Jesus, who speak without first hearing the word of God, who run without being sent, who have no command to preach, but yet they do, who say things about their vain hopes, that is, their hopes, but they are all vanity, nothingness, who speak of the visions of their own minds, their own dreams, but all a vapor and all contrary to God's word and his will. These are those who can even sometimes pull off great miracles and signs and wonders. But even if a false teacher does signs and wonders and he speaks contrary to the word of God, Jesus would tell us, do not have anything to do with such a one. For many will say, Lord, Lord, on the last day, but they were not his own. This is particularly directed at those who claim great spiritual gifts and revivals, casting out demons and so forth, Pentecostals, charismatic groups. This text isn't especially a warning for them, but also for us, as those people would pretend to try to teach us things, new revelations of the Holy Spirit, new movements, new revivals of the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God does not teach us. The devil is more than happy to plant tares or weeds within the visible kingdom of God that is his precious wheat, to bring in destructive heresies, as Scripture says, denying Christ who bought them, and resulting in bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and worse yet, not just themselves, but upon those who would learn from them. So be on guard. The Scriptures have had that message from the beginning to the end. Moses writes early on in Deuteronomy about false prophets, warning people about those who would come even with miracles, and then, of course, invite you to worship other gods, sometimes using the same name of God, but other gods, including most of all yourself. But Moses warns them, do not go along with such teachers. The prophet Isaiah warns about those whole congregations of people that are formed who want to hear nothing but what it says are smooth words. And it contrasts, that's in Isaiah 30, it contrasts these smooth words with the right words, words that make them feel good, smooth to the ears. God then calls them in his word in Isaiah 30, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. Jeremiah, the prophet, teaches about false teachers many times, men who set themselves up as spiritual teachers without being called by God to do so. This is the danger of self-appointed teachers, ones locally who teach through things like their own ministries, often named by themselves. To those who would prop themselves up as teachers in the newspapers or on TV stations, or yes, even internet pastors of our day. Men without a divine call to publicly teach are not supposed to publicly teach. Those prophets, the false prophets, met their demise, and the people who followed them went away from the narrow path into destruction. Ezekiel teaches about this, and he uses the language that Jesus later uses, that of ravenous wolves. They appear sincere, they try to put on all the Christian trappings and Christian airs, and they take God's name and they throw it onto all kinds of nonsense. Micah then speaks of even leaders within the church becoming these same things, those who act only in selfish ways, who use their churchliness to reward their friends and punish their enemies. But we know from Micah's book that God visited them with wrath. The New Testament carries on with the same teaching. Jesus, over and over, especially in our gospel lesson, places much warning about these false teachers, these false Christs, these ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, and almost always they are to be identified not by sight, but by what they say, what they speak, what they teach. And implied in all of his teaching then is, of course, your responsibility as sheep to judge such things. Paul and Peter and John keep along with this teaching. They are, after all, apostles sent by Christ to preach Christ's word. They identified false teachers by their false teaching. And that false teaching was usually tied to two things, which we would sense is very well known today. Teaching like emotionalism and sensuality that attracted hearers who preferred to feel rather than discern truth by comparing teaching and then putting their simple trust in Christ, or to attract those hearers with a demonic teaching of salvation by works. That the Apostle Paul himself, after going through and preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus and his finished work and salvation by grace through faith, would be followed by false teachers who would say, oh yes, what Paul said was nice, but it wasn't the complete truth. Here's some new laws you have to follow in order to get to heaven. All of this is to say, of course, to warn to you to not follow the wide way that leads to the destruction of your souls, because it's not going to be easy to be Christians. It will be hard. Jesus says so. But that hard road is a blessing. For our Lord Jesus Christ disciplines us by it. Yes, we are tempted to follow along with the world and all of its ease and its comfort. But teachings like this are meant to drive out that ease and that comfort and let us know that we are the blood-bought children of God, bought by the blood of Jesus, who the world crucified. Teachings like this may help you look at your own situation, your own reflection upon your own life. And if you are so at ease with all that is going around you, and the world is so at ease with you, you might want to make sure you are not on a wide path. And that if indeed in your reflection you have remembered that you have given in to the world, the devil, your sinful flesh, the false teachers who preach the devilish teachings meant to destroy your soul, then repent. You still have life, and God gives you this time to repent, that Christ Jesus taught this to his disciples, that these false teachers, these ravenous wolves, they may look good, but their teachings are evil, and they lead you away from him. So instead of fleeing from Jesus by false teaching, flee from the false teachers. As I said, how can you know this, however, without knowing the teaching? How can you flee from a false teacher if you don't recognize that false teaching? And there are some indeed who are so ill-catechized that they can't know the differences. And if that's you, then repent. The word of life is being taught, and you are invited to learn it week after week. And those words of Jesus, those teachings of Jesus, they bring life and they bring truth. They are the way. And that doctrine, those teachings, save, because those teachings, that doctrine points to Christ and his work and who he is and how he has saved us. That those words, those teachings help you to know who those wolves are who would seek to destroy yourself and your soul by seductive or sly words that are filled with nothing but death. Smooth words. That while you have life, you have time to hear the word of the Lord. You have time to receive the gift of even the hard teachings. For the hardships that we go through today are meant to help us toward eternal life. That Jesus knows all too well about the world and what sinners do. He bore that in shedding his blood. That's why he warns and he teaches us. That's why he sends preachers to teach the truth, even the hard truth, even stuff that makes other people upset, especially the world around us. But Jesus does not promise ease here and now. For that would be fleeting. Instead, Jesus promises life to come that is free of every hardship and lasts forever. And Jesus commends you now to hear and to judge the fruit the teachings that come from the trees, these teachers, that you are to know the truth, and you are to take that truth, and you are to make it the foundation of your judgment of those around you, especially those who would presume to stand in front of you and teach you the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has bought you with His blood. That He has done this, yes, to forgive your sins, even those sins against the second commandment, where the name of God is misused to teach false things. Yes, even those sins. That Christ died to forgive those sins and to call people, to call you, to call others out of such destructive things by repentance and a new life. For the completed work of Jesus is not only for your forgiveness, but it also brings you new life by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who teaches us true doctrine by the very Word of God, the Word the Holy Spirit inspired men of God to write, that we would honor God by the confession of our mouths and the conduct of our lives, bearing fruit, good fruit, as healthy trees. That Christ Jesus died as a curse by hanging on a tree. That Christ Jesus bore the bad fruit of false teaching and sinful living. He did that so that you, by right of your baptism, would be healthy trees, given new life, new lives of forgiveness, new lives of producing good fruit by what you believe, by what you confess before others, and by what you do to the people that God has put around you. So learn the doctrine and watch out for the false prophets. Judge the fruit and learn to discern a healthy tree from a diseased one. Help each other along the way. And pray God to always have faithful teachers put before you who teach all things, even the hard things. That Christ puts you on the narrow way. He did that when He baptized you, and He's done that every time in forgiving you. He restores you to the narrow way. And as St. Paul did to the elders of Ephesians, he commends them to God. As you are commended to God and to God's word of grace, which, as He says it, as the Spirit says it, which is able to build you up and to grant you the inheritance that our Lord Jesus Christ has already earned for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We join in singing the offertory.